This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Krim, and I'm a small animal veterinarian. Today, I want to talk about something that's incredibly important, but sometimes overlooked, our cat's litter box use and some of the ways that we can affect their choices through litter preferences. I have with me Dr. Maggie O'Brien. She is a board-certified veterinary behaviorist, and we're going to pick her brain about how to keep it in the box. We'll be right back. Hey there, cat lovers. It's Dr. Cat from Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life, and it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter, and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Need the perfect gift for the cat lover in your life? Check out comfortdiva.com. We have cat-tastic gifts to make you smile, like cat-themed tote bags, kitchen towels, quirky mugs, and stylish t-shirts. For holiday gifts or anytime, ComfortDiva.com has it all. Treat the cat lady in your life to something pawsome and save 20% with coupon MEOW20. Visit ComfortDiva.com today, because every cat lover deserves a little comfort. ComfortDiva.com, where comfort meets catitude.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. I have Dr. Maggie O'Brien with me today. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you about this because it doesn't seem on the surface like a very big deal, but when things are going wrong with litter box use, it becomes a very big deal. So I would like to kind of jump into that. And I also want to learn a little bit about you.
Yes, absolutely. And you're correct. Inappropriate elimination or not using the box is the most common behavior problem we see in cats. So it's definitely a very common issue that our pet parents deal with. And then, yeah, my name is Dr. Maggie O'Brien. I am a board-certified veterinary behaviorist. So I live in Charlotte, North Carolina with my family. And then we do see patients locally here. And then I have a virtual service where we get to work with pet parents across the country to help address any behavior concerns that they have for their dogs and cats.
Okay, that is great. So as I mentioned, litter box use, and you mentioned, can become a really big issue. And I personally hear a lot of kind of desperate cat guardians talking about how important it is to keep it in the box. So can we talk a little bit about what someone might do? One of my listeners maybe is out there that has just noticed that their cat has not been using the box appropriately. What are the steps that you would recommend?
Yeah, so there can be multiple reasons cats will start not using the litter box. So we kind of think of it broadly as a behavior concern versus a medical concern. And of course, there can be overlap between the two of those and make them even more confusing. But the first step is always to take your cat into your primary care veterinarian to make sure there's no medical reason that they're not having accidents outside the box. So they can have arthritis or constipation or things like that that may actually lead to defecating outside the box. And then they can have urinary issues like UTIs or kidney disease that might lead them to urinate outside the box. And so the first step would be to get a medical workup and make sure there's nothing going on there.
Right. Well, so would you say that the average cat with no medical issues would choose to be clean, would choose to stay in the box, or can it be just a choice?
So typically cats are going to develop a preference during kittenhood to utilize a box versus not utilizing a box. And that's what makes them such great companion animals. You know, if the majority didn't want to use the box, then they would very likely not live in our houses to the extent that they do. So there is typically in a normal cat a preference to use a box and stay clean and have that preferred area to go to the bathroom. And so when we see them, it's because they are kind of a different from the norm and they're not no longer using that box.
So I hear a lot from my clients, some ideas that maybe the cat is doing those things out of spite or because he or she is mad. And I kind of try to counter that thought. Can you sort of touch on that a little bit?
Yes, that is also something we hear very, very commonly, which is understandable. It's a very, very frustrating behavior for people. And many times we can see cats not use the box secondary to some sort of stress, like the owner being out of town or guests being over or a new baby. And so as humans, it's easy for us to put our feelings on our cat and say, well, they're mad about the new baby, and so they're peeing everywhere. But really, we think about those issues as being secondary to stress, and that's can be a cat's way of dealing with stress, as unfortunate as it is for us in our homes.
So how can my listeners, maybe some of my listeners have a new kitten or a cat that is never done this before. Are there ways that they can sort of set the cat up for success to create a good litter box routine?
Yes. So if we've ruled out medical concerns and we feel like this is more of a what we would call inappropriate toileting issue. So when you look at behavior concerns for inappropriate elimination, you look at urinary marking, which is its own little problem. Urinary marking is not as commonly linked to what is going on with the actual box. But the other main behavioral concern we see with cats that go outside the box is actually what we call inappropriate toileting, which means that they're not using the box either because they prefer a different area or there's something about the box, the location, the litter that they do not prefer. And so they're avoiding that area. And so we'll see those either preferences or aversions leading to some cats not using the box. So when we generally try to set them up for success, a typical rule of thumb would be a very large box. So you always want to get the extra large litter boxes or even an under the bed storage container. Typically getting clay litter is going to be the most common preferred substrate that we see. And then you want it to be in a quiet area with low traffic. You know, you don't want it to be where the dog is constantly barking out the window or where the dryer goes off loudly all the time. So those are some of the baseline recommendations we'll give. And then cleaning it daily is also very important. So we definitely want to be scooping at least once a day.
So you said something that is really interesting to me, kind of diverging, but you said that we need to kind of decide the difference between marking versus toileting. So can you just, I know it's complicated, but can you give my listeners kind of a quick list to know the difference between those two?
Yes, absolutely. So urinary marking is more commonly going to be small amounts of urine. It's often going to be on vertical surfaces. So things like the baseboards or the door or near the window, but it's typically going to be on vertical surfaces. Female cats can urinary mark, and they can't always get the vertical range that our male cats can get. So you can see marking horizontally. Sometimes in that case, it's going to be on areas of social significance like clothing or bedding or things that smell like the owner. And again, those are usually very small amounts of urine if we've ruled out medical issues, because there's other reasons for cats to pee in small amounts outside the box. And then with inappropriate toileting, you're usually just seeing that cat void their bladder or defecate fully. So the purpose is just to go to the bathroom. It's not to leave a social message anywhere. And then when that happens, it's typically going to be again in an area where they either just prefer to go to the bathroom there or an area that's away from whatever their concern about the current box setup is. And so you'll see a larger amount just for the purpose of fully going to the bathroom. Those guys are less likely to use the box at all, whereas your urinary markers are more likely to use the box intermittently, but they also take some opportunities to leave their social memo on our walls or clothes.
Great. Thank you. That's very, very helpful. So I want to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more about specific things that cat guardians might be able to do to reframe the litter box as a happy place. So we'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support 9 Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
I'm very careful about the products that I choose because I have built a reputation over 4 decades where cat parents trust me, and they know that when I recommend a brand or talk about a particular product, they know it came from my heart and I really believe it. I've done my research with Pet Greens. I love the products. I love the quality. And one of the things that I feel just stands out is the education that Pet Greens provides. They guide you every step of the way. It's a relationship. I know how much they love cats and how much they love cat welfare and cat health, and that's their motivation.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 9 Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. Dr. Maggie O'Brien and I are delving into litter box issues and inappropriate toileting versus marking and what my listeners might be able to do to help head off some of these problems. So we were just talking about maybe the toileting thing is a preference versus an aversion. So how can we, without asking our cats, since they seldom answer in English, how can we find out what our cat's preferences are? Are there any like tests or anything that we can do?
So you can perform your own little in-home experiments with our cats. We can offer different options to see if they have a preference for something. And so you could offer different types of litter, a covered box, an uncovered box, see if they prefer kind of a quiet area that's way off to the side, or if they enjoy being a little closer, you know, to the activity. And so those things, you can offer those different options. Usually we say don't take away. So if they're not using the box that you want them to use, don't just remove that one and put a new box somewhere else with totally different stuff, but leave the old one and then just start offering other boxes with different substrates and see if they start to use those. And then if we feel like we know, okay, this is the litter you like, or that's the type of box you like, we can start to replace the other boxes with a similar preference setup.
So here's the real question that I get a lot. Can it be fixed, or is it a problem that will never go away?
Such a good question. So we can definitely help. It would be a very sad career choice if we couldn't help with this really, really common problem. It is always best to address it as soon as possible. Some of the more tricky cases are cats that have been going outside the box for years and have clearly developed a really strong preference for the carpet in the dining room. And so those guys can be trickier, not impossible by any means, but trickier. So if we are one of those more significant cases or ongoing cases, we'll put them in smaller spaces with the boxes to try to really encourage that use. And then once they're starting to use those, we'll continue to expand their access to other areas of the house. You can start to put deterrents, so things like foil, near where they are preferring to go to try to avoid them going there. You don't want to cause stress. You don't want it to be something aversive, but something that they just don't want to step on, like foil. So if it's that aversion or the preference for a different area, it is a little bit of that trial and error to figure out what's going wrong. Urinary marking is considered a fairly treatable issue. So it's very responsive in the majority of cats to medication, which is really nice. It's secondary to stress. And so if you can get that stress level down, lower triggers such as outdoor cats, a lot of times we can make a lot of great headway in those guys.
Well, that's great news. So it sounds like you would say that the key is the observation of the owner and just being willing to commit to try some things and seek some help. So that's great. So you touched a little bit on types of litter boxes and types of litter. If you find something that your cat does like, how quickly do you think you could make that transition and solve this problem?
So if we have the cat consistently going in one type of box and we can start to offer that in multiple places, it's typically not they decide to use the box once and we never have another accident. So as long as we feel like we're making gradual progress and, you know, we're starting to use the box more and more, maybe with some of these guys, we get accidents here or there. But what we really want to avoid, because it's a bond breaker and it's so frustrating, understandably, for people, is our cats that are having, you know, multiple accidents every single day all over the house. That can be really challenging for people to live with. So that's what we're really trying to get away from. And then again, I know it's always a fun answer, but it depends on the case in terms of, can we get total resolution versus do we have intermittent accidents here and there? And it's all just a goal of, can we get it to a place where the pet parent feels like this is manageable and feasible long term?
So is there any specific cat that you see these issues more likely, maybe a breed of cat or a type of cat or a gender of cat or a certain personality type of cats? What do you see?
So it is such a common issue that I would say we see it in all the different types of cats. When we see them in a behavior appointment, many times they do have comorbid issues like anxiety, or they're territorial towards other cats outside. And so based on the individual, we'll try to address those concerns that we can commonly see. So trying to block access to outdoor cats. If there's aggression between or conflict between the cats and the house, oftentimes that can lead to secondary issues like not using the box. So it's typically going to be environmental and what the social structure is. And then that individual variation is typically going to outweigh any breed specific concerns.
So by the time you see these kitties, presumably they would have already seen their general practitioner like me and ruled out some of the medical issues. But you mentioned that sometimes things like osteoarthritis or urinary disease can play a role. And I know that by the time you get them, these have already been handled. But can you touch on those a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And they can be comorbid too. And it's really tricky if you're dealing with something that is a medical issue that isn't curable per se. So if they have chronic issues like arthritis, obviously we have great treatment options for now in cats, but it's still an ongoing treatment process that you're never going to make completely go away. So when we work with these guys, it is definitely really important to make sure that they're as physically comfortable. So with arthritis, you want to make sure that the box isn't, you know, they don't have to go up a flight of steps to get to the box. If that just feels like a lot for that cat that day, they might just choose to use a room, you know, adjacent to them that's often a quiet spot and not do the stairs that day, especially if the stairs are wooden and they're slippery or anything like that. Even the sides of the box can play a role with that. So some cats aren't going to want to jump into the box because they feel more ouchy that day. And so addressing those issues can definitely help with making them more likely to use the box, but meeting them both ways. So it's addressing the primary issue like arthritis, but it'll also be making sure we have boxes readily available where they don't have to go far to find them, making sure we have sides cut out of the box if it's got a tall side and you have an arthritic cat. So making sure we're covering for those issues the best we can on our end from a management standpoint and also an environmental standpoint.
So this is a little off topic maybe, but in your experience, what about the cat boxes that are, I think they're made out of some kind of cardboard or whatever, and you just throw them away, or the robotic cat boxes? Are you seeing any help with those kind of new advances?
So it depends a lot on the kitty. So with the individual preferences, some cats aren't going to mind those at all. And they're not going to be any sort of concern. Definitely, they can lead to easier cleaning. And so they're more convenient. So you're going to potentially end up with a more frequently clean box, which you're going to get some cats that prefer that. It's always good to make sure you're going very much brand name on the auto cleaners, making sure that you find one with a lot of good reviews, and maybe talk with your primary care about what they recommend, only because you don't want to get anyone that's going to malfunction or do anything that's dangerous. There are going to be cats that are very scared of the auto cleaner. So the cats that, you know, if you've seen those old videos where people used to put a cucumber near a cat and it jumped like 10 feet in the air, those cats would likely not be great with the auto cleaner. So you just want to be mindful of you know, any potential scary association they might make. And then again, if you're like, I'm doing the auto cleaners, you know, or I'm doing the cardboard, just don't change all of the boxes to that. Offer it in one spot, make sure they like it before kind of committing to fully using those.
That is really, really good advice, because they're really not cheap. So
Yes, that too. That'd be a real bummer. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess to sum up then, you're saying, you know, watch your cat, listen to your cat, maybe try some things. Don't forget the relationship, though, with your general practitioner. I know that I have seen cats that actually had urinary pathology, and this was their way of showing that. And if the owner had just Googled it and started trying some stuff, we never would have made an impact for that cat. So I really appreciate that. This has been a really enlightening conversation, and I think the practical tips are also very helpful. So I want everyone that's listening, though, to remember that if your cat isn't using their box, it's not about them being difficult or angry. It's a sign that they need something different. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. So we don't think of cats generally as being spiteful or being, you know, trying to get back at us. They also don't know that, you know, oh my gosh, that piece of clothing was really expensive and now I'm never going to get it cleaned up, or that couch, we can't, you know, we're gonna have to throw that whole thing away. They just obviously don't have awareness of that bigger picture. And so while I know a lot of times it can appear that way to pet parents, it isn't our cats being spiteful. And unfortunately, what that kind of, what that connotation can lead to, or what that misunderstanding can lead to, is us being really frustrated with our cats, which can then kind of snowball into we're upset with our cats. Maybe we speak to them sternly, or, you know, try to move them away from wherever the accidents were. And we can lead to this cycle of the cats more stressed out now because we're not interacting with them in a normal, gentle way. And then that can lead to more accidents and more frustration from us. So it's good to just remember that we're humans, they're kitties. These things are secondary to medical issues. They're secondary to stress, you know, concerns about outside stressors, or inner house concerns as well. So it's just good to keep that in mind when we're working with them and want to come from an empathetic place.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I interview people and I do this podcast and I hear about things, but I literally in my practice still hear clients saying that they punished their cat for this behavior. Yes. So it is still out there. So I'm glad you highlighted. Please don't punish your cat for this behavior.
Yes, it will not help.
No, it will make it all worse. So, okay, well, you know what? I really appreciate you taking the time to educate my listeners about a problem that I do see and hear a lot that I think damages the bond between cats and their guardians. So thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, and also thanks to my listeners for tuning in. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with all your fellow cat lovers. Again, I'm Dr. Catherine Prim. This is 9 Lives with Dr. Cat. Go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.